Chapter 22. Callista stared down at the corpse and gave a despairing moan. The queen's flesh was ashen and sunken, her lips blue, turning to black. If Callista had to guess, she had died recently, probably within the last week. Anguish and guilt shot through her. It felt like she'd been impaled. Had she arrived only days earlier, perhaps Isolde could have been saved, but there was no doubt that she was dead. Her chest did not rise and fall with her breath, and there was a stillness to her that was not present in even the deepest sleep. Still, Callista had to be sure. She reached out and gently put a finger to Isolde's throat.
"Don't wake her."
Isolde's flesh was cold and unresponsive under her touch. There was no heartbeat.
"Oh, little uncle, she is no longer with us. She's at peace. She's with the ancestors now. We should draw the blood trident upon her head that her passage to the beyond is made smoother."
A myriad of emotions played out on Viego's face. He looked hurt, then confused, but that swiftly gave way to anger. He swatted Callista's hand away from Isolde, scowling.
"Get away from her! Why would you say something so hateful?"
Callista backed off, raising her hands placatingly.
"You're hurting, little uncle, but you need to let her go."
"You are just the same as the others. You're trying to come between us to take her from me. I won't let you."
"Viego,"
said Callista, hurting to see his pain and the toll his grief had taken. She moved closer, reaching out to him. The cloying air within the bedchamber was suddenly charged, and the immense blade of the king, Sanctity, materialized in Viego's hand. Callista froze.
"You won't take her from me!"
Nunyo was suddenly at Callista's side, tugging her back toward the door. She had not even registered him entering the chamber.
"You need to rest, my lord king. It has been a wearying day."
Viego blinked and shook his head, as if he were coming out of a daydream. He looked at his blade in confusion.
"Yes,"
he said, finally releasing his grip on it. The sword disappeared before it could strike the floor.
"Yes, Nanyo, you are right. I am tired. I need rest. Ledros, will you watch over me as I sleep?"
"If that is your wish, Lord King,"
said Ledros from the shadows behind Callista.
"Please. It would give me comfort."
Callista placed a hand on Ledros' vambrace, looking up into his gentle, sad eyes.
"We must speak when you can."
The big man nodded and placed one massive, gauntleted hand upon hers. She glanced back at Viego as he sank to his knees alongside Isolde and laid his head on the bed. With a sigh, she allowed herself to be ushered from the room by Nunyo. The doors closed. They walked back out through the chaotic mess of the royal wing.
"When did she pass?"
"It's hard to say, for the king stopped letting anyone inside the chamber, even the healers. But it couldn't have been more than a few weeks after you left. There was no way to contact you."
Callista looked at the advisor in shock.
"She's been dead that long? But she looks..."
"Micaea's chalice. It has slowed the decomposition."
"Oh, ancestors. This is a nightmare."
"It is. And it gets worse."
She stopped, feeling sick in the stomach.
"What else has happened?"
Having dismissed the household guard, Nunyo swung open the heavy iron door to the palace's treasury and stood aside for Callista. Holding a burning brand aloft, she stepped within. It was a vast, cavernous space, though the ceilings were low and arched, much like the palace's sepulcher. Callista had not been down here in years, and it took her a moment to realize the chamber seemed larger because it was mostly empty. When last she'd been here, each room was stacked floor to ceiling with chests and coffers. The wealth of Camivore had seemed endless, accumulated over hundreds of years of conquest, tributes, and taxation.
"He's spent it?"
Callista looked around her, aghast.
All of it?
Oh, it's worse than that. He spent coin we don't have. Kamavor is massively in debt. It will take decades to pay it back.
But how is that even possible?
Said Callista, walking around the empty space.
He's been throwing gold at any healer, magicker, priest, or alchemist to be found, desperate to find a miracle cure. And once word got out, a steady stream of them have been arriving at the palace gates every day, looking to get a part of that payout.
Surely that couldn't account for all of this,
said Callista, gesturing around her.
He sent offerings out to dozens of nations, begging for anything that might save his queen. It feels like every day a new ship or wagon train leaves here, piled high with wealth. Of course, many never reach their destination, taken by raiders, stolen by those sent to guard over them, or simply vanishing without a trace, and so he sends more to replace them. He's traded priceless heirlooms and artifacts that have been in your family for generations for the empty promises of fakers and charlatans. Your family's legacy, gone in a matter of months.
Could you not stop him?
I have counseled him as best I could,
Nunyo said, lowering his head.
I fear if I had pressed any harder, my life would be forfeit.
Callista rubbed her eyes.
And the grain stores? Why are they shut? People on the streets are starving.
Reserved for the host, city guard, and nightly orders, in case the capital is besieged. Oh, and there's also famine. There has been no rain, and the fields are barren.
This is a disaster.
It is, my lady. The future of the kingdom teeters on a knife's edge.
Where's Lord Hecarim? The Iron Order holds the palace, but I have not seen him. Is he helping maintain the peace in the city?
Your husband-to-be left a portion of his order here and marched the rest east, along with the Horns of Ebon and a few lesser orders.
East?
He has sacked Port Takan, and last we heard was moving inland toward the independent city-state of Al-Shalaya.
What? We need him here, not off fighting meaningless wars. What is he thinking?
Oh, I agree, but he went on the king's command. Viego wants someone to blame. Port Takan was an obvious target, but it won't be his last, I fear.
Callista sat down heavily on an empty coffer, thoroughly dejected. She'd always wondered if those living at the tail end of a great civilization saw the cracks before it fell. Did they watch, helpless and full of dread, as it crumbled around them? Or were they oblivious to it, blinded by the minutiae and stresses of daily life? Did some live in denial, desperately trying to convince themselves things would get better? Did others attempt to forestall the inevitable, even if that effort was like trying to bail water from a boat that had already sunk? Was that Kamavor? Was the kingdom now in its death throes?
I must leave you. There is a backlog of petitioners and claimants coming to the palace every day. Viego is in no state to hear them, but ignoring them only inflames the violence. I will hear what complaints and cases I can before sunset, even if there is little I can do. We shall speak after then.
After he was gone, Callista buried her head in her hands and wept. 2 days after her arrival, Callista was finally able to speak to Ledros. She'd barely had time to breathe, spending her hours reading dispatches and reports and questioning Nunyo, trying to understand how the terrible state of things could even begin to be unraveled. Her immediate priorities were feeding the starving populations in the poorer quarters of the city and ending the violence in the streets. But neither problem was going to be solved quickly. It was late, and she was standing alone atop the crenellated walls of the palace, gazing outward. Distant shouts and the clashing of weapons echoed up from the shrouded city, and fires blazed in several districts. Alovedra was tearing itself apart, and it was breaking her heart.
General,
he said behind her, and she smiled. She'd missed his voice, at once deep and gentle. He moved surprisingly quietly for a man of his size. She turned and looked up at him. His gaze was downcast, despite the fact that he was now a ranking noble. That he didn't look her in the eye was like a knife in her chest. She'd thought of him every day she was away, thinking of what she would say to him, but now that he was here in front of her, the words dried up.
Letros, it's good to see you.
I am glad you returned safely, General.
He rumbled, his posture awkwardly stiff, like he was on inspection.
Look at me, please.
He lifted his eyes, slowly to meet hers, then looked down once more. Even that small glimpse showed the confusion, pain, and stress within him, however.
Are you well?
I'm fine,
he replied automatically, but there was no conviction in his voice.
And you, General?
Fine,
she said, turning to stare out across the city again. They stood in silence for long moments, until Callista sighed and turned back toward him.
This is stupid.
Ledros frowned.
General?
This, us, the way we're both acting, it's ridiculous.
His frown deepened and he shuffled uncomfortably. She took one of his giant gloved hands in hers. He went very still and she closed her other hand over it, clasping tightly.
You are my dearest friend and comrade. Perhaps things would be different if I were not of the royal family and sworn to another, but this is the world we live in. This is the way things are, as much as I might wish it otherwise.
Ledros's square features were as unreadable as stone. Callista sighed again and released Ledros's hand. In the gardens and courtyards below, she could see knights of the Iron Order joking among themselves, and her expression soured.
How long has the Iron Order controlled the palace?
2 days after you left.
On Viego's order?
He paused, then nodded.
There is something you are not telling me. Come now, you've always been terrible at hiding things from me.
Ledros's shoulders slumped.
It was Viego's order, but I believe the Grand Master took advantage of the king's distraction to get him to sign the writ.
Callista gazed out to the horizon.
Now Lord Hecarim is sacking the cities of our allies,
she said, bitterness tinging her words.
Did he manipulate Viego into that order as well?
Ledros didn't answer, but that was a clear enough answer in itself.
Wonderful.
There is something else,
Ledros said somewhat reluctantly.
Something I feel you ought to know.
What is it?
I have heard rumors of how Lord Hecarim became Grand Master of the Iron Order.
Callista frowned.
And what do these rumors suggest?
That he could have saved the previous Grand Master of his order. That he could have intervened to protect him, but he chose not to.
She blinked.
Hecarim left him to die?
It is what I have heard,
rumbled Ledros, looking away across the water.
Where did you hear this? Is there any proof?
Ledros continued to stare out over the battlements, his jaw set.
It is not hard to believe. The man will do anything to gain the power he craves. He is ruthless and has no morals.
He turned and looked at her, holding her gaze for the first time since their conversation began.
You cannot marry him, Cal.
You're telling me what I can and cannot do now?
I didn't mean it like that.
Hecarim is ambitious and headstrong, but a murderer.
You are far too trusting,
snapped Ledros, shocking her. He'd never spoken to her like this before.
You see the best in people, but sometimes you are blind to the worst. Some people are just bad. He is one of them.
Ledros's chest was heaving, his massive hands were clenched, and his face was flushed red. He seemed to realize how inappropriate his outburst was, and he looked down.
Is it for my benefit you want me to call off this wedding, or your own?
Ledros looked up at her, and she saw the anger and hurt in his eyes.
Do not trust him.
Jealousy is an unattractive trait, Commander.
Without another word, She turned and walked away. Callista woke suddenly, her warrior's instincts firing, knowing that someone was in her room. She was out of her bed in an instant, a short blade in hand. Her heart was racing as she searched for the threat, her gaze finally settling on a dark shape sitting in the chair in the corner.
Ledros?
She'd gone to bed, cursing herself for how she'd acted. It would have been a blessing if he had come to her so that she could set things right. But as the dark figure rose to his feet, she saw that he was not nearly large enough to be Ledros. The figure stepped forward, and cold moonlight fell upon Viego's pale, narrow face.
I miss her, Cal. It's been so long since I heard her laugh, since I saw her smile.
Callista lowered her knife, sheathed it, and tossed it onto a table. She released a long breath, her heart still hammering in her chest like a war drum.
I'm sorry I wasn't here. I'm sorry I didn't get back in time.
None of this feels real,
said Viego, sitting down on the bed. He looked exhausted, drained and drawn, and his eyes stared blankly at the floor.
I wish she was here to help me.
Callista sat down gently next to him.
I wish that too. But I am here. I will help you through this, I promise.
Everything's going wrong, Cal,
he said, turning to look at her. There were tears glistening in his eyes.
I just want things to be like how they were before.
I know, Viego,
said Callista, reaching for him. He leaned his head on her shoulder.
I'm so sorry.
They remained like that, clinging to each other in silent grief for long minutes. It was Viego who finally broke the silence.
But things will get better, won't they?
He said, pulling back and wiping at his eyes.
You found the Blessed Isles. She'll be restored, and everything will be like it was. You've saved her.
Viego,
said Callista, shaking her head.
For a moment there, he was coming back. It won't do any good. She's gone. Nothing can bring her back.
He seemed to retreat into himself, his expression hardening.
You pretend to care about my beautiful Isolde, but you don't, do you? You're just like all the others. You want her gone.
Ancestors, no. Listen to yourself,
said Callista, rising to her feet.
It's me. We are all the family we have left, you and I. I loved Isolde. She was the sister of my heart, and I love you. I just want to help you through this darkness.
Viego slowly pushed himself to his feet. Shadows fell across his face.
Tell me what you found. Tell me how to get through the mist.
Callista thought of the waystone the warden had given her, along with the vial of water. Both were in a drawer in her dresser, but she resisted the urge to look in that direction and instead held Viego's gaze.
I will not. No good will come of it.
Then you are useless to me,
he said, turning his back on her.
Guards!
Four hulking knights of the Iron Order entered the room. They surrounded her, hands resting on the pommels of their blades. They had the visors of their helms lowered, hiding their faces. Callista hoped that was out of shame for what they were doing.
Viego, please, do not do this.
Take her,
said Viego, still with his back turned.
Lock her in a cell.
Gauntleted hands grabbed her, and she instinctively tensed, resisting them. Nonetheless, there were four of them and one of her, and she was powerless to stop herself from being dragged from the room. More knights of the Iron Order stood in the hallway.
Search her room!
Viego shouted, following her out. She squirmed and strained against her captors, searching desperately for Ledros, but he was nowhere to be seen. Even if he had been there, there was nothing he could have done. Nor did he owe her anything, not after the way she had spoken to him. All the fight drained out of her, and she allowed herself to be hauled away.